Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now.
Well, that's a version of the marshmallow test, one of the most famous experiments in child psychology and one that's had a wide impact beyond the Stanford University lab, where it was first conducted in the 1960s. That's when psychologist Walter Michel first tested more than 500 preschoolers, giving them the choice to immediately eat a marshmallow or wait and then get two. The point being that delayed gratification, self-control, grit. Michel reported that the kids who were able to say no to the mallow ended up being more successful adults with higher SAT scores, lower body mass indices, and more control over their emotions. Now, the marshmallow test is controversial, and in recent years, its findings are not exactly replicable. For example, just this month, in the journal Psychological Science, researchers published a study where they concluded that the results of the marshmallow test have little to no statistically significant impact on later life outcomes. Well, joining us now is the researcher who led this study, Tyler Watts. He's an assistant professor of research at New York University. He had two co-authors on the paper. Professor Watts, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, why did you first want to question the results of the original marshmallow experiment?
Yeah, well, you know, I was a psychology student in undergraduate, when I was an undergraduate student, and I, you know, was really interested in these studies when I first saw them. I still remember seeing the videos, just like the audio clip that you played a few minutes ago, and they've always been really interesting to me. And my co-authors and I do sort of work on educational policy, where we try to figure out, you know, what kinds of skills and competencies should programs and interventions be investing in. And the hope is if you invest in a program early on, that it will teach kids something that will then have sort of a lifelong impact. And so it seemed like, you know, the marshmallow test and delay of gratification is something that people continually go back to, they continually talk about. So it seemed like it was worth revisiting.
Right. I mean, in fact, this is something that is central to a lot of the education or social-emotional education that young kids are getting in some schools these days. So it has a very powerful effect on what people think are determining factors for later life outcomes. But when did you replicate the test exactly, or did you make any changes, and what did you find?
Yeah, sure. So we should first say we didn't actually do the test ourselves. This was a data set that was funded by NIH. Kids were recruited in the early 90s, and developmental psychologists put together this really great data set where they were tracking about 1,000 kids over time. So I think, as far as I know, the kids are still being tracked into adulthood. And they gave the marshmallow test at age 4. And one key difference with the test that they gave was they stopped the test after 7 minutes. So if a kid waited for 7 minutes, then the test was over and they got the second marshmallow. So some of the original tests went longer. So that posed a little bit of an analytic challenge to us, which we can get into in a minute. It didn't end up being as big a factor as we thought. And then what we did was we just simply followed up at the age 15 wave, and we looked at statistically, did the kids who waited longer at age 4, did they have higher achievement scores in math and reading at age 15? And then we also looked at a bunch of behavioral outcomes, like risky behavior in adolescence.
Yeah. Professor Watts, I have to tell you, there are maybe thousands of parents right now listening on the edge of their seats. What did you find? What's the bottom line?
So basically what we found was we found really no relationship between waiting and later behavioral outcomes, which we were surprised to see. And for achievement, we found a much smaller positive relationship than what Michel and his colleagues originally reported. And the key thing for us was that when we statistically controlled for background characteristics of the kids, so we controlled for their race and ethnicity, gender, stuff about their parenting environment, their home environment, when we controlled for all of that, then the relationship became pretty much insignificant at that point.
So this is one of the major criticisms of Michel's initial studies. Did he do those same controls when reporting his results?
No. And to be fair, when he was publishing that work, few people did. Right. Our computing power and our understanding of how statistics works has come a long way since then. So that was part of why we did this, was we thought, you know, we should really go back and test. If you kind of hold stuff constant about a kid, then does the difference in being able to delay gratification really matter? And we found that it didn't matter very much.
But I'm looking at, let me see if I can find it. I've got the paper in front of me. I'm looking at one of the charts that you have here. Here it is. Yeah. Minutes waited on delay of gratification task. That's on the x-axis. And on the mm-hmm. y-axis, you have achievement score at age 15.
Sure.
Between 0 minutes and, like, what is that, 1 minute, there does, even with the, when you applied your controls, there does seem to be a jump in achievement score at age 15.
Yeah, there is. There's about a tenth of a standard deviation, which is not huge, but it is something, and that's when we control for kind of normal background characteristics. And what's interesting is that most of that benefit is gained by just being able to wait about 20 seconds. So actually being able to wait 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 5, 6, 7 didn't really have much extra benefit on top, which mm-hmm. we were surprised to see. And then actually when you control for other stuff about the kid measured at age 4, like their math achievement, their reading achievement, and behavioral problems, then the relationship is basically zero or indistinguishable from zero, which means that if you were to sort of tune up delay of gratification, but you didn't change broader cognitive skills in the kids or behavioral skills in the kids, you wouldn't expect to see long-term effects based on our results.
Okay. So in that case, is the whole marshmallow test, I mean, people have been saying this now, but now we have your new, newly analyzed data set. Is mm-hmm. the whole test moot?
No, I actually don't think so at all.
Okay.
So I think, you know, that first of all, I think we have to keep in mind that when Michelle was first doing this work, it was really pretty much, you know, pioneering work. And it really has taught us a lot about the way that kids think and what kids are capable of doing at a very young age. So I still think the test is really, you know, it's really interesting for sort of analyzing how kids delay gratification, right? And what's going on in their minds at such a sort of interesting age. The question for us was, does being able to delay gratification at age 4, does that really matter for your sort of long-term life trajectory? And that's where I think we kind of, you know, walk back some of the conclusions that were originally made.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time that Michelle's original studies have been challenged, right? Because I think a lot of people have asked questions over time about so many things can alter a child's response to the marshmallow test. Like, are they more likely to respond to folks in authority, peer pressure, things like that. There have been other sort of challenges before. We just got about 10 seconds here. Sorry to rush you through your last answer.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so our study, I think, just adds a new layer of complexity to what we already know.
Okay, so for all those parents who were thinking about grabbing a marshmallow and putting it under their kids, just enjoy the mellow instead with your kid, right?
Exactly.
Maybe being a parent rather than testing your kid is, I'm telling this to myself, is most important. Tyler Watts is an assistant professor of research at New York University. He's author of a new paper that's testing the marshmallow test. And we've got a link to it at radioboston.org. Professor Watts, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.